This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Next weekend, on Sunday, September 19th, the Ed Johnson Memorial will be dedicated near the Walnut Street Bridge here in Chattanooga. In 1906, Johnson, a young black man, was lynched by a white mob on that bridge. Starting on Thursday through Sunday's dedication of the memorial, a series of community events will explore the Ed Johnson story through history, art, storytelling, and remembrance. The theme, courage, truth, and the freedom to imagine a new America. Donovan Brown and Marianne Martin are with the Ed Johnson Project. Donovan, Marianne, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, Ray.
Thank you.
It seems just a short time ago that we were speaking about the Ed Johnson case, our long-form conversations earlier this year on Scenic Roots, and now the moment is approaching, the dedication of the Ed Johnson Memorial, and a series of events in the days leading up to that dedication on September 19th.
Indeed, that was a deeply engaging series for we, the committee, and I hope as well for the public who were able to take part in listening. Absolutely, coming forth, folks will be descending upon Chattanooga and safely, of course, and we're going to have up to 16 events. And it's been a really long time. I mean, even thinking back to our discussion earlier this year, I don't think that ground had yet even broken on the construction site, and it's near to be completed. And it's a joy not only for the community to be at this place, we'll be dedicating the monument, but also to have someone like Eddie Glau Jr. being present with us as a keynote speaker and to converse with Chattanooga's own John Meacham. So we are proud and grateful for the years of support from the community and also the support of WUTC.
And Donovan, we value our partnership going back to the Ed Johnson conversations here on Scenic Roots, and also the collaboration between the project and the Pod Lab here at UTC with Will Davis and his students, which yielded the podcast We Care Now. Talk more about Dr. Eddie Glau Jr., the keynote speaker for Sunday's dedication. He chairs Princeton University's Department of African American Studies, and he's a New York Times bestselling author.
I came across him roughly 5 years ago. I was researching, continuing to learn about the story of race in the country, and I come across him, and I was struck by the manner in which he spoke. It wasn't simply the brilliant content which he provided and the complexity and candor in which he described the American narrative, he being someone from the great state of Mississippi, but it's also the tone in which he spoke. There's a certain kind of rhythm and cadence that he speaks with, and there's a warmth and character in his voice. It's almost as if he's an uncle of mine. So there's this kind of way in which he speaks to people, but he's right next to you. And we are really excited to have him with us during the time as a keynote speaker. And of course, he's written a book called Begin Again, and it's about the life and the work of James Baldwin. It was a further depth of understanding about both how he thinks and also a lot of new and enlightening information about the life and times and profound labor of James Baldwin.
Not only does this series of events explore Ed Johnson's story through history, but also through art and storytelling and remembrance, Marianne.
Yes, it was very important for us, Ray, to think about this holistically. And we actually organized into teams where we had an art team and a history team in you know, the many people that have come together to plan this dedication. Because I think our thought, like you said, this is not just about Ed Johnson and No Pardon in Stiles Hutchins, although it is very much about them, but it's also about the city of Chattanooga and what the city of Chattanooga has been and what the city of Chattanooga wants to be moving forward. And so it was important for us to think holistically about this memorial dedication, to think how can we both remember what has been and celebrate our life together as a city, and to think about ways that we want to move forward. And if you look at the theme for our dedication, it is courage, truth, and the freedom to imagine a new America. And when we talk about all the various components of this, you know, we have walking towards downtown of history, we have a history panel, but the focus of our roundtable at the history panel is actually to think about how the memorial can be a part of Chattanooga and the city of Chattanooga. So our efforts were really to think holistically about this and to think about what this means for the city in a broader sense, rather than just simply a memorial for three men who were very important to the city.
And as we were thinking holistically about our planning, it involved recruiting folks from a range of different organizations, from nonprofits, universities, to community members. And we wanted to reflect the community even in our planning. And so, as you know, that we've had 15, 20 Ed Johnson Project members, and we invited on another 15, 20 people who worked alongside of us and put in a significant amount of time planning the events, utilizing the creative energy and relationships to plan. And as well, we have an event even focused for kids. So often we could not be mindful of the fact that our community is comprised of folks from 85 down to, you know, to even little babies. So there'll be an event at the Hunter where I'll be reading kids' books to the young folks, helping them understand some of the nuances of what race and racism means in our country. Because the earlier I think we can understand how we've gotten here, I think the better we're equipped to heal from this moment and to build towards a new America. And I can imagine for some, this idea of a new America doesn't mean that we abandon the old America. And I think that one can argue that America has been reborn a number of times, certainly after the Civil War. And we're in a moment, we're certainly in the midst of a crisis, a compounding crisis where there's two different narratives, two different versions of both America past and present. And this memorial, we hope, suggests to people that we can revisit our past, deal with a painful element of it, and come together anew, and the entire city doesn't fall apart, that we can actually build stronger bonds, and that we can actually live in the spirit of what a bridge suggests, or that it amplifies. And a bridge essentially allows two sides to be linked together so that the two from one end to the other can walk alongside and meet in the middle, and then move forward from there. So we're being mindful of the community at large in terms of age ranges, the kind of events, both art, music. So we're deeply excited for the community to be able to be with us.
Another aspect of this story that will be highlighted leading up to the dedication is faith. How that played its part at the very end of Ed Johnson's life. And I think about this because, as you know, as so many people listening know, we recently lost Reverend Paul McDaniel, who we spoke with earlier this year as part of our Ed Johnson conversations.
Absolutely. And I remember as a young man growing up in this town, knowing of his work, seeing him on Sunday mornings as I was getting ready to go to church, he would be preaching on the TV and you didn't hear him on the radio. And his life and legacy will live on for generations. And there's so many folks who he mentored, who he was a father to. Not only that, he was a pioneer. Like, he certainly stood on the shoulders of those who came before him, but he also labored and brought in the work to pursue a more perfect union in our community for decades. So it is unfortunate that he wasn't able to live to see this moment. And he did believe in the work of the committee and joined us in our Scenic Roots discussion. And I had the joy of joining him and Eleanor Macaulay Cooper several months ago. And I'm glad we were able to have that opportunity to speak with him. And for me, it's something that I will remember and even cherish throughout my life. And regarding the faith of Ed Johnson and the faith of our community, there will be, of course, be a church service on that Sunday morning. And the theme of that Sunday is the tomb of Ed Johnson and the resurrection of Christ. And we're having it on the courthouse lawn. And within that courthouse was the very jail cell where Ed Johnson was housed. And in that jail cell, days before he was lynched, there was an invitation to the folks at St. James Baptist. And not only did the, as we discussed in Scenic Roots, not only did the pastor come and the choir come, also did 200 to 300 members from that church. And we know that we often see jails as places of shame. These are places for the criminals. But the church was not afraid on that day to not only worship with Ed Johnson, but also to extend an invitation for him to join St. James Baptist. And as we know, he was also baptized and welcomed into that church. And they describe him expressing a great amount of jubilance on that very day. So we will be there. And it is a citywide opportunity. We've got pastors from 7 or 8 churches will be preaching through elements of Romans 6. And again, the theme for that Sunday morning is the tomb of Ed Johnson and the resurrection of Christ.
How are you proceeding with these events, given the pandemic, especially the dedication?
This is something that, of course, is extremely concerning to us and that we've thought about throughout our planning. So we're doing several things. A lot of these events are outdoors. The dedication is outdoors. The church service is outdoors. And that's partially because of the locations, but also partially because of it being safer to be outdoors. We are requiring that almost all events, folks register. That's so we can track numbers and make sure we don't go over a certain number. We will require that everyone be masked at all the events. And we are also doing temperature checks at the indoor events. And for one event, the history keynote and roundtable at the camp house, because it is a smaller capacity venue, we are also asking that only vaccinated people attend that event. And so it's not possible for the event at Olivet with John Meacham and Dr. Glaude. They have a very large place there, so we'll be able to do social distancing. They actually have it set up for social distancing already. For the camp house, that is not as possible. So we are asking that only folks attend who are vaccinated, and of course, temperature checks, masks, that kind of thing. It's something that we pushed it out, hoping it would be safe. Unfortunately, the Delta variant popped up and has become a real issue in all of our communities. And we finally decided we're just going to move forward with the planning, but to do it as safely as possible and to put in as many precautions as we possibly could.
Beyond the series of events leading up to the dedication, the story continues. The Ed Johnson story does not end when that memorial is dedicated. That story continues and what it means for us here in Chattanooga.
There are folks who have been with the project now for a number of years, and many of them have invested significant amounts of time and energy, and their efforts will sunset when we will proudly stand on the bridge on the 19th. Though a handful of folks will continue on, and we will continue to labor within our community and invite others to join us. And one focus that we'll have moving forward is on partnerships. We understand that there are a number of institutions that have been partnered with us over the last few months, particularly with planning for the dedication. And so there's also statewide organizations that are doing similar kind of efforts to reckon with the legacy of lynching in their own communities and the pursuit of racial justice. So our efforts will continue here. And on that bridge, in fact, we'll actually announce some of the specific ways we'll be working. And a part of this will be the completion of the documentary. We understand that for a lot of folks who were introduced to the Ed Johnson story, we had this unique feature as a city, is we had this documentary. In other communities where they're trying to reckon with their past, it's often word of mouth or the telling through story of this. And we had this multifaceted, multimedia mechanism to tell this story. And that really was, I think, a significant way which folks were invited into the story of Ed Johnson, to his life and the legacy of his attorney. So I hope as well that we can push to ensure that that's done for the community and for our nation.
I have to ask, because I've heard you say this and I've read that you've said this. When you first learned the story of Ed Johnson, you could no longer cross the Walnut Street Bridge. Have you thought about revisiting that as we approach the dedication?
Of the final words I'll be offering on that Sunday, September 19th, will be an invitation that we present, some of whom who walk across the bridge on a daily basis, some of whom who've never crossed that bridge. And like myself, I've been down and back one time since I heard about the life of Ed Johnson. And it'll be an invitation that we all cross that bridge. And hopefully that for those who remain seeing this bridge as a place of death and a place of separation and segregation, that they would see this bridge isn't just for some Chattanoogans, but for all of Chattanooga. And that they'll walk alongside us across that bridge to the other side.
And for people who want more information, where can they go online?
So our website, edjohnstonproject.com, has a full listing of events with links to registration, has information about all the speakers. Also, our Facebook page, Ed Johnson Project, we have all the events listed there. If you want to shoot us an email, it's edjohnsonproject@gmail.com. So please don't hesitate to reach out. Make sure you go on the website and register for all the events as well. So please, yes, all events are free, open to the public, and we want the entire community to join us.
All right. Mary Ann Donovan, thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
A personal note, I will moderate a roundtable discussion at one of the events on Friday evening at the Camp House here in Chattanooga. Again, for more information on all the events, visit edjohnsonproject.com/dedication. The festival is coming back to Dalton. Starting this Friday through next Sunday, the Creative Arts Guild will host this year's Festival of Fine Arts and Crafts. Amanda Brown is the Guild's Executive Director. Amanda, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this year's festival.
Festival 2021 is our 58th annual Festival of Fine Arts and Crafts. It is 58 years strong as the Guild is 58 years strong. So it's a weekend-long celebration of the arts. We have an open artist market, an indoor juried patron exhibit, all Saturday and Sunday, outdoor multicultural children's activities and performances, live music all weekend. And it kicks off with a ticketed party, a preview party Friday night called Taste of Dalton that features local restaurants here in Dalton.
Tell us more about some of the artists, some of the participants.
We have a lot of regional artists that come in to showcase their work underneath. We have jewelers, we have ceramicists, painters, different fiber artists, printmakers, you name it. We try to have a wide variety and selection in our artist market and our indoor exhibit. The juried indoor exhibit features all kinds of different art, 2D, 3D works. We will have a best in show. And of course, Friday night during the preview party, we have a People's Choice Award where everyone gets to vote for their favorite piece in the exhibit. And, you know, wide selection of music artists performing all weekend as well.
And how are you handling things at this time with the pandemic?
So last year during 2020, we had our first COVID-friendly festival. We were one of the first larger events locally to host a large audience. And we did so with the guidance of our local health officials and several different groups that have had experience. And we feel confident that what we can offer this year is a safe environment for everyone. We will be requiring masks in our building. We'll be limiting the number of people that come in. All of our artist market will be separated and socially distanced with one family allowed in the market or in each booth at a time. And we'll be doing temperature checks at the door as well. So we do feel like we'll be able to provide a healthy environment for everyone to come into if they choose to. And if not, there will be a few online features, some interviews with artists, checking in on our Facebook page and things if you can't join us in person. But we do feel like throughout the day, the majority of our event is outside. We are socially distanced and we feel like we'll be able to do so safely.
And how will this festival convey what is unique about Dalton when we talk about the arts, when we talk about food?
So on Friday night, the food, they're all local restaurants that come and support our Friday night Taste of Dalton. So you're going to get a large variety of the different restaurants we have here in town, which there's very many now. A lot of Latino food. And we have Cafe Ostro here as well, and then some traditional kind of Americana foods and things like that. So we have a large variety of all the different foods that are here in Dalton. And the festival itself, the way it represents Dalton specifically, I feel like there's a lot of arts festivals everywhere. And what our artists relay back to us is just the hosting and the hospitality that Dalton offers our audience, our patrons, as well as our artists, really kind of separates our festival from others, the feel that you get when you come. The smaller festival, it's not so overwhelmingly large that each individual artist really gets highlighted. We try to be selective about the kinds of artists that come in. So we are really highlighting the different art forms as well. And the community feel, our festival is not really a Creative Arts Guild event. It is a Community of Dalton event. For 58 years, we have had a huge number of volunteers love and support this event each year. And the event itself are chaired by volunteers as well. So there's a big committee that pulls together all kinds of people out of the clockwork to come to the Guild once a year to host the artists as they come in and host our community to come and celebrate the arts.
And for people who want more information, where can they go online?
All the ticketing for Friday night and all the weekend events are listed on our website at creativeartsguild.org, or you can check out our Facebook page.
All right, Amanda, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots. This afternoon from the Isis Theatre in Asheville, we have the first half of a set from Ultrafoe. From Baltimore, the quartet led by guitarist Michael Joseph Harris, with Kristen Harris playing violin, Steve Carler playing rhythm guitar, and Zach Page playing bass, plays what they call Django Reinhardt-inspired music. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here. The first few songs we played were original songs. The first one was from the new record, Tangent, and that one was called Jaguar. And then we played a couple from other albums as well. Geez, I just want to thank everybody for being here. It's wonderful to play for you right now. After being on hiatus for more than a year, we're going to continue with a little take on a classic tune called Sheik of Araby, but it's called Sheik of Airbnb. It's my own my own melody. Same chords though, right? kisses my ass.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, we're going to do a classic Django Reinhardt song. One of the only videos of him playing with Stefan Grappelli on black and white film. J'attendrai. Thank you. Before Django Reinhardt discovered jazz in Paris around 1930 for himself, and changed guitar playing completely. He played waltzes on banjo in Musette halls, and I'm not going to play a banjo, but I'm going to play a waltz. This is a really cool traditional waltz by Chanchu Vidal. He's a great guitar player from the old days, and it's called La Gitane.
Ultrafo playing in the ISIS Theatre in Asheville. The complete set with video is on the ISIS Theatre Facebook page. We'll have the second half of this excellent set next Monday here on Scenic Roots. This is listener-supported public radio from Chattanooga.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.